Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Grecians Gossip. I'm Jack Ball and joining me on today's show are Jamie Hawkins and Stuart James. Good afternoon.
Hi Jack.
Jack.
So, City, a lot of fans have spoken, I've seen, about Exeter City normally have a mid-season slump. Yeah. Is it starting to happen again? Is there genuine worries around the place at the moment?
I think the biggest worry is the injuries that have happened to some key players. Here on Boateng being out for... sounds like 3 or 4 months. Probably won't play again this year, so we're looking at probably a late December, early January return for him.
Training ground injury, wasn't it, as well?
Bizarre, yeah, well, no, it wasn't even training ground. It was up at Crawley, so it was the last minute of the warm-up before the game up at Crawley. So, a real strange one, but he's pulled up or torn a muscle in his hip flexor, which sounds rather painful. So, yeah, he's going to be out for a while. Lee Holmes has missed the last couple of games. They're just lacking creativity right now. I mean, I'm not too concerned right now because I think when we get one or two players back, hopefully City would be okay. But yeah, as you say, it's shades of last season again where City had this slump around this time of year.
So Jimmy, would you say City over reliant on a couple of players, do you think? Or do you think that's a standard for League One and League Two teams?
Possibly. I mean, as Stu said, it does seem funny that it's always around this time of year City seems to have a slump.
It's when the clocks change.
Yeah, and the FA Cup.
Yeah.
Time as well, but yeah, I mean, it definitely showed against Forest Green, and I didn't go to Tranmere, but I don't know if it was the same there. With you just missed that creativity, I think we said last week, you know, Boateng offers that right in the middle. He's so creative and he brings the team forward, and you know, when you've got like Jordan Tilson and Jake Taylor, like we said, they're not the most creative players. They get stuck in and, you know, put in a good shift, but City just lack that cutting edge up front. And you know, obviously Stockley and Fort are, you know, slightly out of form lately, but I wouldn't say that's their fault. I think that's the lack of service they're getting. So City do miss that, and yeah, perhaps they are over reliant on a couple of players. They have got a big squad, obviously, so you know, it's still a strong team and a strong bench, and you've got options to bring on when you've got like Tristan Abrahams and Liam Martin of the like. But yeah, it is tricky. I mean, you know, a little bit of a slump now, which is slightly concerning. But then they were early in the season and bounced back. But you do sort of feel with the honeymoon period under Matt Taylor starting to come in, you know, to an end, and reality starting to kick in. And you know, it's only going to get tougher when, as we approach Christmas, with you know, a huge catalogue of games and
a lot of fixtures over a short span of time, aren't there?
Yeah, it's fantastic.
I'm not so sure about the squad being big. It's not as big as it has been in the last few years under Tiz. You know, you look at the player, I think there's 9 released and 5 that came in over the summer, but there's more youngsters that have come in, youngsters that have promise, but they haven't really been given any opportunity in the first team. So
would you say there's been a problem of recruitment, or was there any limited budget to stretch over?
It's like every other club. Exeter have got a budget, they have to stick within it, you know, and that's basically what Matt Taylor's done. He's brought in some sort of key signings in terms of players with League One experience, like Nicky Law. Lee Martin's disappointed me. He's not really been at it at all recently. Really disappointing up at Tranmere. I'm expecting a lot more from him. You know, he's a player that's got pedigree. He's had some pretty decent clubs and been sold for some big money before.
One of our colleagues is a Gillingham fan, and he said without Lee Martin last season they would have been relegated.
So. Yeah, he said he single-handedly kept Gillingham up last year. Yeah. So you know, when we signed him, he's like, hey, he would tear up League Two, and I'm just waiting for it to happen with Lee. It just,
I know what it is, really. He said before, because I interviewed him just a couple of weeks after he signed, and he said it's been difficult to settle because obviously his family lived back in London, or was it somewhere in the southeast? But I think they've recently moved down now, and I think he said last week now he's hoping to properly settle and kick on, because yeah, he has been disappointing. I agree. You know, you look at his CV; he's played for so many big clubs, and you know, he dropped down from, you know, League One to League Two, dropping down from Gillingham. And he just hasn't shown that. He's shown, you know, some quick, tricky footwork at times, but yeah, he just hasn't really offered much in terms of going forward, attacking wise, which is why, you know, Exeter signed him, I suppose. Yeah. I think going back to like the injuries and that, I think the most frustrating thing is injuries are injuries. You can't help them. They happen. It happens to everyone. But obviously they brought in these, you know, I can't remember their names, but fitness and strength and conditioning coaches to prevent lots of injuries, and doesn't seem to have worked so far. I mean, is that their fault? I don't know. I mean, Boateng putting up in training is just unlucky, I suppose, isn't it? But obviously, Lee Holmes has had a long history of injuries, so he thought perhaps they would have tried to fix those. So that's kind of frustrating, I suppose, that you know, you bring the coaches in.
But defensively, are they okay? Because in previous seasons, I'm right in saying they've had a lot of defensive injuries. Yeah, well, they're more further forward.
Yeah, last season, it was the start of the kind of first half of the season where City had no centre-halves and lost Jordan Moore-Taylor and Troy Brown. Obviously lost Troy Brown again this year, and he's such a big loss. I mean, Jamie and I have spoken about him, and you know, we're both of the agreement that he's probably City's best out-and-out defender. So he has been a big loss. Aaron Martin's come in and it's been absolutely brilliant.
You know, that one's a goal.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, not many centre-halves say they've been scored from inside their own half. But Luke Kroll's another one. That's an interesting one for me. Luke Kroll, in the main, I think the two of them look pretty solid defensively. But then you get the occasional incident, like the second goal against Forest Green, where Luke Kroll just makes this really reckless tackle, misses the ball completely, frees up loads of space to the left-hand side, and Shepherd, the right-back, has advanced forward and smashed it into the bottom corner. And then again, up at Tranmere on Saturday, just a lapse in concentration with Luke Kroll, and they go and score the second goal straight after half-time. So it's those little lapses in concentration and basic errors that are costing City right now.
So just finally, before we move on to the Tranmere game, speaking to Matt Taylor, has he got any concerns about this creative flair? Has anyone spoken to him about that? What's his sort of view on the situation at the moment?
I don't think so. City were a lot better up at Tranmere last week than they were the week before against Forest Green. So there was, you know, you can take positives from that. Against Forest Green, it was just like City just didn't get going at all.
It's weird really how football comes in ebbs and flows, isn't it? You can go on a great one earlier in the season, it looked like they couldn't stop scoring goals, and now they're going through that little motion, maybe one win, and you start getting that momentum.
It was one of those games, Forest Green, isn't it, where they could have played all even and they wouldn't have scored.
Yeah, it was just, I put that one down to being more of a one-off, really, in the sense that they'd come off the back of 1,000 miles of travel up to Grimsby, Crawley. All the injuries were kicking in. There was a sickness bug going around the camp. It just felt like it was a game too far. But last week up at Tranmere, the team did look a lot more lively. They were more at it. And, I mean, Lee Martin missed an absolutely really good chance in the first half. If that goes in, you go 1-0 up, it's a different game. But unfortunately, his shot was saved, and James Norwood scored straight afterwards, which is typical.
To be fair, Tranmere, they're not fodder in League Two, are they?
No, they're doing all right. A good job. Yeah, they've come up, and Norwood really impressed me last week. I was quite interested to watch him play, given that he was at City 10 years ago as an 18-year-old. His movement was brilliant. He just kept pulling away from the centre halves onto the full backs, and he just gave the City defence a torrid time all afternoon. Really scored both the goals. Could have had one or two more, and it was nice to catch up with him afterwards as well, just to have a little chat and see how things were going.
And obviously, this FA Cup fixtures this weekend, is that, would you say that's good or bad, Jamie, to have a break from League Two action?
Yeah, I think sometimes you need a bit of a break when things perhaps aren't going as well in the league. However, having said that, sometimes the FA Cup can be good because you can play like a lower league team and you can get a win to get the confidence back, but you're playing a League One side in Blackpool, so it's going to be a tricky contest. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how Matt Taylor approaches it in terms of team selection. Obviously got one or two injuries. Does he try and risk perhaps a couple more, or try and play his full strength side just to try and get a win and get the win and feeling back to Exeter? So yeah, it's a difficult one. He's still got a week break in between that and the next game. So I think he'll play a near full strength side, because Blackpool are, a good team. They're in League One, so it's going to be tricky.
And Stu, is there any sort of memories of the Wembley defeat to Blackpool? Is that playing on any minds? Do some fans want revenge, or is that long forgotten now?
I don't know if it's been long forgotten. I mean, it's, playoff final defeats hurt, don't they? And we've had two with Coventry as well. So,
but I know, as a football fan, I look forward to those types of games where you can try and get revenge on the team.
Yes,
done something this year.
The thing is, with the FA Cup, I always want a game that's different. So I'd like to play a non-league team, whether it be home and away. You know, I'd always take that risk of a Curzon Ashton or someone like that, because it's different. That's what the FA Cup's all about for me. You know, we played Blackpool over the years, got good and bad memories of playing them, and it's just not a particularly you know, game that you look forward to too much, really.
That doesn't stick out, does it?
No.
If they cut draws, mate, it's not
not the glamour
tie. It's not an easy tie either.
No, it's not. They're going really well, Blackpool.
And you want to try and get as far to progress. You know, every fan,
yeah, of course,
media, everyone wants a big team in the third round preferably because it's just a good, like you said, it's a totally different to the norm, isn't
absolutely.
It?
Absolutely.
We'll see how they get on this weekend.
Yeah, it's going to be tough, especially, you know, you want to go into these sort of games with a full complement of players because, I mean, Jack, you went to the Bristol Rovers game in pre-season against the League One side and City played really well that day. You need to go into these games with your strongest hand, I always think.
And as Matt said, well, I suppose you've not spoken to Matt Taylor too much about the FA Cup because the presser will be on Thursday this week, but it'll be his debut as a manager in the competition.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's got some good memories as a player, though.
Yeah, I'm sure he has. I'm just trying to think of any off the top of my head, but I'm...
We're next to about a pretty decent record in the FA Cup play. Obviously, West Brom... Last season, Liverpool, Man United, of course, a long time ago.
And in Cups, they have been, maybe not the FA Cup off the top of my head, but in the League Cup, they've beaten the likes of Brentford before. They have beaten teams.
Well, we beat Ipswich in the Carabao Cup, but again, that was with a full-strength team out. That's with, you know, your Lee Holmes and Boateng. John Fort's out injured as well at the moment, so that's another loss. It'll
be interesting for me to see how many fans turn up to these types of games, because you get fans that may not check a trade trophy, but that was changed because fans don't attend these types of games, and they need to come out in their numbers, in my opinion. Do you think, overall, has the FA Cup lost its magic? I still look forward to it. I
love it as well. I'm a proper sort of traditional football fan, really. I love the, you know, David v Goliath cup upset opportunity, and I think for lower league clubs, it's everything now. Maybe not the early rounds, but as you say, everyone wants to get to the third round. And the financial side of it now is massive. You know, 36 grand for the winners on Saturday is a lot of money, plus a place in the second round draw as well.
Even the qualifiers, there's decent prize money for
those.
You know, look at Torquay. They've made decent money already so far. What about for you, Jamie? Are you a big fan of the FA?
Yeah, I mean, I always look out for the draw. I mean, I remember... when Exeter City pulled out Man United, and there's that great footage, isn't there, Steve Perryman dancing around
with Alex Inglethorpe.
Yeah, that's what it's all about, isn't it? You know, I think I always want to, you know, get your way to the third round, play a non-league team, just a comfortable run like City had last season, really, and then get, you know, that big glamour tie, you know, a big Premier League club away, just to enjoy the day, because you're not going to be expected to go very far. But then it has shown in recent years that it can happen. Look at Lincoln City against the quarterfinals, incredible, a non-league team at the time. So, yeah, I don't know. I think it still holds a special place for non-league and lower league clubs. You know, obviously a lot's been talked about Premier League sides playing weak teams. They don't really see it as a priority anymore, which is a shame, but it's not surprising, is it, really?
I think that's the biggest shame for me. I would love to go back to the days of the FA Cup final being a big day. I don't really like games being played at Wembley before the final. Those are the types of things for me that spoil the FA Cup.
Absolutely.
So, Jamie, you touched a little bit on the team that Matt Taylor might pick. Stu, can you envisage changes this weekend?
Yeah, I do. I mean, Matt sort of suggested after the game up at Tranmere that he wasn't too happy with the way City are defending right now. Felt the second goal against Forest Green and the second goal Tranmere were both a bit too easy. I've got a feeling Dara O'Shea might come in. I think it could be Dara O'Shea and Aaron Martin, the centre back. It's hard to see too many other changes, really, because of the injury situation.
What's the goalkeeper situation like at the moment? It's Pim back.
Christie, he rolled an ankle in training, so hopefully he'll be back. He had a fitness test on the day of the Forest Green game and failed it. They hoped he would be back last week, but it was still still too early for him to make a return. I don't know. I mean, hopefully he'll be back in training now. It didn't seem too serious an injury, and I think City missed him as well. So I just felt the first goal up at Tranmere as well, I felt James Hammond should have done better. I don't know if you've seen the goal back, James.
Yeah, definitely.
Is it a bit hard when you're not playing football as a goalkeeper, though?
I see where you're coming from, but in that instance, no. He played the week before against Forest Green, and to be fair, he didn't stand a chance with either goal. Last week at Tranmere, I mean, it kind of summed up Hammy for me. He's got talent, but sometimes he just switches off a little bit, I think. And about 5 minutes before the goal, he'd made a brilliant save. And then, of course, 5 minutes later, cross comes in, Norwood heads it goalwards, and I just felt he tried to make it look too spectacular instead of getting the ball away, and he ended up mucking it up and flicking the ball into the bottom corner. So,
and he has been at the club for a while now. He has played quite a few games. He does normally play in like the Checkered Trade games and perhaps some other cup games, but he's been out on loan a few times. So he's, you know, got good experience under his belt now. But I don't see him as that sort of commanding presence that you need, that Pim provides. You know, if Pim's not happy, his defence, he'll let them know. I've heard on the Big Bang, he'll give, you know, more Taylor, not Troy Brown or Aaron Martin, and, you know, big rollicking. But Hammond just doesn't seem that sort of player, you know, he just seems... I don't know.
I just like a goalkeeper that commands his box. It's almost like the goalkeeper to say, the penalty box is mine, whatever happens in here is down to me. And he should dominate that box, which I think Christie does really, really well.
So just a final question on the FA Cup. I mean, of course, sometimes changes are made for injuries, but as fans of clubs, what do you make when a manager makes wholesale changes in the Cup? Does that disappoint you? Or
I think it depends on the situation sometimes. I mean, that when City played Liverpool away, that was unbelievable. That, you know, he had Tom Nicholls, the top scorer. He dropped him for Clinton Morrison because I think Tiz said it's his last chance to play at a big game or something like that.
Actually, so.
But I mean, realistically, you're probably going to lose to Liverpool. But I mean, in these early rounds, when you still got the chance to try and get,
I think you've got to go for it. You know, as Jamie said earlier, it's a week between games, so there's no fixture congestion or anything like that right now.
So if he made six or seven changes, you'd be a bit disappointed.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he wouldn't. I think the money dictates now, you know, because as I say, 36 grand is a lot of money for a League Two club, especially when it's a League Two club like Exeter, where they don't have a benefactor that comes in and throws money at it willy-nilly.
So another change off the pitch is the stadium development is now complete. Have you both had a chance to see that now?
Yeah, we've both been around the new stand and it looks fantastic, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Really, really impressed with it. So different to the old grandstand, if anyone's ever been in there. Just like the inside bit with the, they got loads of legends like up against the walls and on the ceiling. It's a really nice touch, and obviously naming it the Stagecoach stand, that was so fitting in a way. And yeah, it's just all coming together. You know, the away end seems to be done. I think that's going to be open
on Saturday, I think.
Yeah, for the Blackpool game, which will be great as well. It's going to be unusual, actually, to see, you know, a stadium with four stands open. Almost forgotten what it's like. But no, it just bring a sort of whole feel-good place about the club. Forest Green thought would have been, you know, a nice way to open the new stand, a big game. Unfortunately, the result didn't go the right way. But yeah, it can, and I think Matt Taylor and Julian Tagg, I spoke to him when the stand was being open, he's saying how much of a difference it can make to the team, you know, as well, how the atmosphere can influence the players. And yeah, it's great to see, and yeah, I'll have to try it out at some point.
And Stu, you've sort of been there multiple times throughout its sort of build. How does it look now in comparison to what you, does it look like how you envisioned it when you went in the early days?
Not at all. I mean, we went, I think it was about June time, wasn't it, where we were given access to the stand, and it was just like a, you know, it was just a shell, basically. And we were told by Justin Quick, this is going to go there, this is going to go there, and you think, God, it's going to be a bit cramped. But when you go in now, and with all the new bars and things like that, it's actually really, really spacious. It's a lot more space.
When you're there. From the other side, it doesn't look that big. But when you're actually there, it's
it is a sizable structure. But I've just got to give credit to all the different fan groups, because as Jamie said, you've got the, you know, the big sort of things coming off the wall of all the ex-players, and I love the timeline that goes all the way along the stand, you know, Charleston City's history. And it's all been funded by support groups, the Heritage Lottery Fund. I just think it's brilliant. And even the handrails on the steps going up the stand has been part funded by the ex-players association. So it's like City have been given this stand, and it's all the fans have kind of chipped in to make it their stand. Yeah. And it's just really, really nice. The little touches inside are absolutely fantastic.
And the thing is, a stand's a stand, isn't it? But it's those touches that make
it. Exactly, that's what makes it special. Yeah. And like even the glass, I love the glass paneling out the back where you can look out across Wells Street and out onto Exeter. It's, you know, it's really unique, but it's got a real charm about it, I think.
Yeah. And too many new stands and stadiums just look so generic. They look nice and modern and clean, but they're just it's a bit soulless.
It's like IKEA multi-packs, isn't it?
A lot of them look really nice from the inside when you're in all the facilities, but from the outside it just looks like another stadium. Yeah. But, I mean, what sort of feeling do you get when you walk up and you see it then? Does it look weird from behind now?
Yeah, it is. It's nice because obviously, you know, years ago you used to have this horrible green thing that was there, and obviously green and Exeter City don't go hand in hand. But now you've got this, you know, really brand new, you know, massive badge on the side of the stand. It's something to be proud of, I think.
And do you think the fans feel that when away
Yeah,
well, when away crowds come, you're sort of proud that that's
yeah, that it's our stand, most definitely. Yeah,
I think it looks a lot. It will look a lot better on TV as well. Whereas before, you used to just see the old grandstand, or last thing you see, then you saw nothing. Whereas now you've got a fabulous new stand to look at.
Fantastic. So,
and there's no dead flies. I mean, in the old press box, we used to joke about it because there used to be loads and loads of dead flies, didn't there?
Yeah.
And then when you have the lights on after a certain while, they'd start coming alive and jumping up and landing on your laptop and stuff. But there's none of that now. It's a proper stand.
But you're not over there, though, are you? So you're
no, we're not.
I bet you'd love to be over there, wouldn't you?
I would actually. Yeah, I'd like to go back. But no, apparently all the PowerPoints have been put in and what have you. So. I've been told we're stuck where we are next to the away fans for now.
So who can have one spell where you'd be able to go as a fan, just enjoy that stand?
I'd like to, yeah, at some stage. You're talking about going over there, Jamie.
Because it looks like you get a great view from there. Pillars or poles in the way this time. Yeah.
Well, the view from the back of the stand really is fantastic. Yeah. It's quite steep as well.
Although it's quite open, so it might be quite chilly this time of year.
Absolutely. My dad was in there last week, actually, and about 5 minutes into the game, one of the City defenders went to clear it. Ball went straight into the stand and landed in my six-year-old's lap.
Really?
Yeah. So,
did he throw it back? He managed to throw it.
I mean, frightened the life out of him.
That happened to me once when I was young. I went to throw the ball back, but I accidentally threw it down and hit the person's head in the row in front. So, as long as you didn't do that. So, going back to the Blackpool game then, I'm going to put you both on the spot and ask for your predictions. I'll go with Jamie first. What are you predicting will be the outcome of this game?
It's an interesting one. It depends how seriously Blackpool take it as well.
They have had a game in the week, haven't they? So they've had a fair few games recently.
So you think they probably aren't too bothered about this game. Obviously it's a long old trip for them as well. So I think they'll play a weakened team. I think City will play a relatively strong one. So I'm going to go for a 1-0 Exeter win.
It is hard to ask you, isn't it, when you don't have no idea what sort of teams you're going to ask you?
I think both teams are going to take it seriously because, as I say, I think the money for clubs and Blackpool have got their financial issues as well right now.
And so you're only two rounds away from that third round.
Yeah,
it's not a million miles away.
Exactly. So I think both teams will go for the win, but I can see it being a frustrating 1-1 draw.
Would a draw be a bad result? Would the team really want to go all the way back up to Blackpool?
That's the thing, all the way up to Blackpool Tuesday night.
You'd almost rather lose in the way.
This is the sort of occasion where you could do with extra time straight after the game and get it sort of there and then, really. Maybe do away with replays now.
And then who's the next league game after that?
Northampton at home.
So you've got two home games in a row. Yes. It'll be interesting to see what the crowds will be like with the new stands.
Yeah, and it's my mate John's 50th birthday for the Northampton game, so shout out to John because he's a listener to the show.
Fantastic. Great, well, thanks very much for joining me. We'll be back again next week to look back on what the FA Cup had to bring, and we'll look forward to the Northampton game.